You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode of the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz is brought to you by Peloton.
What a delight during the break for me and Stugatz to just stare at Cody because of what he did at the end of this last segment. Just to explain to the audience, we've been talking to Ron McGill for a long time. Stugatz hasn't listened to three quarters of what's happening when Ron McGill is talking.
Like, but I saw an elephant.
But Stugatz got engaged in the animal segment, and I saw that flash in my old partner's eyes, and I was going to ride it into the sky. He saw an elephant near a casino, and he had something. I saw my partner invigorated because he was just titillated by an elephant walking through in Montana. A sad casino, and Greg Cody took the ball and saw the gas station and imagined a scenario where the elephant was buying a pack of cigarettes.
Right.
All of us taking us further and further away from where it is that we began the entirety of this segment with an unhinged Mike Ryan. And this is what I would say to you as someone who gets perpetually accused of carrying water for the Miami Heat. No, the standard is win the championship. That's where they put the standard. That's where the standard is expected to be. And I, as someone who's in the content business and someone who appreciates how hard it is to keep businesses functioning in South Florida, am an admirer of this team being relevant for 15 years and creating a standard where we expect it to be 2010, 2014. We're in the middle of the conversation all the time. Like, that's this team, it is somehow our birthright in this region that the Miami Heat get to feel every season what the Knicks are feeling now in the first round because they're desperate for it. And I would just ask you to stand back for a moment while all your criticism is valid at the end if they don't win the championship and they look like this season that it's fallen apart. I would say there are some body issues there. You guys are always running past the injuries on everything in sport, and I think it matters that Joel Embiid isn't healthy right now.
Yeah, I'm not skipping past the body issues. The body issues specifically were why I wanted to improve the roster. What happened this season was them, for several years, striking out on an inability to improve a roster that was almost championship good. And everything just came home to roost at that point. Dan, like, I don't have this impossible standard. Yes, I love Heat culture, was aiding and abetting the marketing strategy. I just don't want the arrow pointing down. We can have lateral moves as long as we're competitive, or we can have the arrow pointing up. This arrow's been pointing down since they got gentlemanly swept by the Denver Nuggets last year. There were absolutely reasons to improve this roster.
In the finals.
Yeah, reasons. I'm sorry, right. Yeah. Reason for encouragement to know that if you added to this roster, they could be right back there. They failed. The roster got older. They're not good enough. We are criticizing.
Okay, and let me just go back.
Better tone.
Less than 12 months and say to you, as all of us get lightheaded with loopiness because it's like, what do you mean Jimmy Butler's Michael Jordan during the playoffs now. All of us are totally confused by it. And then when it arrived in Denver, it started to look like it had the lack of lift that you have seen this entire season in the legs. But up till the last seven games of the season, when what they needed to beat Jokic was, hey, Jimmy, can you be Michael Jordan again? Because it's ridiculous that we now expect that from you. He then fails in the final five games, and you're remembering it, and I'd say misremembering it, with all this gentleman sweep out was no good at the end, when he made all of us believe that in a seven-game series, he might summon some 40-point guy, and where we're all like, who is this person?
That's your opinion. I might be. I think you're also forgetting that after he did the camera snap to Boston, and it looked like they were just running a flat track against Boston, he fell off then. And it was very perceptible to the eye, and we just chalked it up to, well, that incredible run, what he had to muster to beat Milwaukee, and then the season started, and he looked like the same guy, and he kept running into big teams, and we thought, now it's playoff Jimmy time. He even told us, it's that time, and it didn't turn on. It's not like he's a 27-year-old, Dan. At a certain point, you have to realize that the window is closing, and sometimes the window closes in the NBA Finals, and that can be confusing. But this, to me, is Ric Flair. I love you. I'm sorry. You were a 16-time champion. Shawn Michaels is kicking you in the chin. You got to do something.
I think what Mike is saying is actually fair. It's much better tone. I can understand him. But what he is saying is fair. They've gotten to the finals. You're right. They haven't won when they've gotten to the NBA Finals. And all Mike is asking is, hey, Pat Riley, do what you used to do. Improve the team.
Sure.
Because the team up there in Boston, they're improving every single year. They're getting better, and we're not. And that's a fair ask from a big-time Heat fan.
It is all fair. And Pat Riley remembered in Winning Time on HBO as the Boston. Boston when he was with the Lakers. Boston when he was with New York. And then when Danny Ainge comes out and says what he says is the head of the Boston organization, he sends out a team spokesman when they're fouling LeBron and says, Boston again. Pat Riley, at near 80 years old, has been fighting at the top of the conference with this organization and has won for 5 years. And after a sex scandal that makes their exceptional coach great in Houston, Brad Stevens appointed himself when Danny Ainge left as the top of that organization, and the trade he made is a monster. The two guys he added in Holiday and Porzingis are obvious, yes, third and fourth pieces on championship teams. We've seen that happen before. Boston got better fast, and the conference has now been taken from them by Boston and executiveship, as your team has fallen behind Boston. It can't be disputed. I'm simply saying we got drunk on the fumes of playoff Jimmy will always be here when it matters, and you just can't expect 45-point games every time out from that guy.
That's what Mike is saying and what Greg is saying.
We agree.
Like, you guys are agreeing, but there's also a middle ground between 2010 and play-in games every season, hoping that you advance the next round. And, like, what you're saying is look back 12 months, but their job is to look forward 12 months, look forward 24 months, and they're not saying get rid of Jimmy entirely. It's give Jimmy pieces to make it not have to be something that's so reliant on Jimmy. Make him a three so you don't need playoff Jimmy. And
correct.
It's not unfair to say that.
I was enjoying beating Boston. And while we were beating Boston, I was also saying I'd trade Jimmy Butler for LeBron James tomorrow.
Yeah.
I knew what was happening when it was happening. That it was an outlier. And I was always saying, this team is not good enough. This is wild. This is unprecedented. I'm going to enjoy listening to EEI with the rest of you. I love beating New York, but we are not positioned well. I was saying it then. I said it throughout the offseason. You want to talk about they made it to the NBA Finals last year? Boston made it to the NBA Finals 2 years ago. They totally changed out what was a young roster. Milwaukee won the championship 3 years
ago.
Did
the hard thing by getting rid of Marcus Smart, who was the leader of the team.
Golden State had the best season in the history of the NBA, and they added Kevin Durant.
They succeeded where Miami has failed.
But what do you want me to say? I'm not here to argue that...
You are, because you're telling me that they were in the finals last year, to which I say, so what?
Yeah, because I would add, I think you do overemphasize they made the finals last year, because this is also true. 2 years in a row in a play-in tournament is a warning signal. It's flashing red. And it's warning you, you're not that good.
You know
a lot of teams make the playoffs in the NBA. If you have to fight through a play-in tournament 2 years in a row, not a good sign.
The fact that this entire crew doesn't see the absurdity in they were in the finals last year, so what? Like, doesn't see the absurdity.
Did we not give them their flowers?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that the Panthers got a lot of flowers from you for the first time of ever doing anything over the last 25 years.
Thank God Bill Zito enough around here lately.
Did what Pat Riley failed to do, which is realize I'm not good enough. I need to make a drastic move, and it worked immediately. What does my Panther fandom have to do with anything?
Because of where the standard has been put on all of this stuff, you feel entitled to
I don't feel entitled.
I'm a sports fan.
I want my team to be championship good. If that's entitlement, every sports fan is entitled. Like I thank you. I love beating Boston.
This is where they've put the standard because they've created.
Do I have to walk over there across the street, take my shirt off, and say, Stella?
No.
I'm very thankful for that. But also, I'm a sports fan. I want my team to win.
But you're a sports fan who is saying, because this is, I think we can all agree, it sounds like we've been arguing. Yes, of course, improve the team always, every year. Nobody disagrees with that.
Well, they do because they failed. Do it. Do it. It's been 4 years of me saying, hey, great year. We're this close. And then some other team gets closer.
I have a question for the class. Greg, you as well. So this team's championship window is closing. Dan, do you agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So this team's championship window is closing in the offseason. You want, not that he's a one anymore, but would you trade Pat Riley for LeBron James straight up?
And you get Bronny.
Is that a piece you would take on this Heat team, LeBron James? But he says the only way I'm coming back
is no Riley.
Do
you understand that when you ask me, has their championship window closed, that when they were with Hassan Whiteside and Dion Waiters and I didn't think there was any opportunity to get Jimmy Butler and they did get Jimmy Butler, hey, Dan, is their championship window closed? Yes, if he's their best player. Yes, that's a nice free agent acquisition. And Amin and everyone else is making fun of me saying, no, he's a superstar. You don't know it yet. He's a superstar. And then he comes to Miami and he becomes a superstar.
Mike, Bill Zito or Pat Riley? You can only have one.
Yeah, right now it's Zito. He's got his whole career ahead of him.
Would you trust Bill Zito to rebuild the Miami Heat?
I'm trying to have serious conversations.
I am too.
And
if Riley could make
the other one was going nowhere.
Trade the equivalent of Kachuk for Huberdeau, then the Heat have a championship contender.
It was summer after summer.
That's good commentary. That's good. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. And it's been there for them.
Do it.
If they could just get Anthony Edwards, do it.
Now we're talking.
it was done on the hockey side of town.
The trade piece has been on this roster the entire time, and they haven't brought themselves to it, which is BAM. Wow. That's been the trade piece. The difficult trade to make has been on their roster for 5 years, and they haven't wanted to make it.
In the league, according to Stan Van Gundy.
You need to stop doing that.
Did Stan say that?
No.
I didn't listen yesterday.
It was Jeff.
The Van Gundys.
You're gonna get me. Like, you need to stop doing that. Okay. It's not a request.
Sorry.
You need to stop doing that. Okay, because you're gonna cause me a problem.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Dan Le Batard.
Yeah, very
imagine if someone told you you couldn't have a Corvette.
Stugatz.
I'm a grown-ass man who's not filthy rich. I can't afford a Lamborghini. Well, I probably can, but that's...
Whoa!
Hey!
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I hate when this happens. I just got a text here vigorously siding with me on this, saying the Heat literally won more games with the most starting lineups in the history of the franchise. Ooh. Something that would allow me to have a winning argument, but it was sent by Jeremy.
I called it from back here. I was like, Jeremy texted me.
As soon as you started talking.
And I hate my ally here, right. And I surrender. I will put my sword down, carrying water for the Miami Heat. My only point is you say that the Heat have to improve. My only point is that it's just hard to be this good for this long, and I wouldn't take it for granted. It's an unusual thing to have a franchise get roster turnover and give you sustained excellence and relevance. I would not be so busy round one, game one of a series of the playoffs that your standard has gotten so high that you can't appreciate that you basically just had what the Knicks season was by a game or two. Look at how New York enjoys it because they've been starved for it, and look at how Miami reacts to it because it's not good enough. And it's not good enough.
I really don't think anyone on this show takes them for granted. I think everyone is well aware of how great this organization has been for a very, very, very long time.
Right.
Like, I think everyone knows
that. It's the only reason this market has been relevant in sports for 20 years now.
And I think everyone understands that. And the Yankees have been, you know, relevant in New York forever, but they continue to try and get better. And that's all people are asking. That's all Mike is asking. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can respect what the organization has done, and certainly I think everyone does. And you can also ask that same organization, hey, you set the bar so high. Like, go find some pieces. Get us back to that place. I want to get back there. Get us back there. We have the guy to get us back there, and he's not getting us back there.
The ultimate compliment to the Pat Riley Spoelstra regime is the dissatisfaction being felt by two play-in seasons in a row. There's a big gulf between the Knicks winning the number two seed and the Heat going through the purgatory of a play-in again.
I just need to stop everything that we're doing here because the playoffs have just started, okay?
I'm exhausted.
But it's not going to last long.
Playoffs have been incredible.
They haven't started. A road team hasn't won.
That's true. I just want to take some inventory of what's happening around here because I think Mike Ryan said that on the way in, he was listening to multiple Maple Leaf podcasts, and I think Chris Cody said he was scouring Philadelphia sports radio last night, and I just realized that one game into this postseason, this show is now that flavor to America, that the most enjoyment, the people who love this show and hate its fandom, the most enjoyment that's possible is listen to the hour that they just did, throwing feces at each other, caring deeply about sports in a way that's fundamentally unreasonable. After one game, it's dynamite time over here.
TNT.
Over here, it's dynamite time. And over there, it's just total madman.
I broke a bobblehead of Lucy's. Pounding the table in the back over there because I mentioned Kyle Lowry's name. I don't take them for granted. I'm passionate about my sports teams very clearly, and I feel like we've seen this day coming. So I don't want to talk in circles. Instead, I'd rather move the puck around the blue line.
Okay, and we will talk hockey in a second, but not before we play again this video of Kyle Lowry in the scrum yesterday, because it is 38
years. It's fantastic.
It's 38.
That's his career
Wait a minute. That's a Hall of Fame career. A Hall of Fame career. Ooh. His career is not falling out of bounds, but he has spent the last 5 years doing that. Kyle Lowry was supposed to be that fourth piece. Hall of Famer Kyle Lowry.
Well, to some. But when he was acquired, I'm like, not my favorite, but okay, we trust him.
He made some plays last night.
They lost you on Terry Rozier. They lost you.
I wasn't a fan of the Kyle Lowry thing, but to go through all these pursuits and for them to have the nerve to come back to me with Josh Richardson after everything that I'd been through, that was very disrespectful. and I still haven't been apologized to.
Chris Cody, I heard you and Billy talking about a booth anxiety that the two of you had that I wasn't totally understanding because you called it a social anxiety.
Well, my dad brought this up as well. It's really the stress. If you're ever going to lunch with three people, the stress when approaching a booth.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be one person's going to get to be sit by themselves and the other two are going to be crammed in there.
Yeah.
Are you the jerk that just establishes one side and gets your elbows real wide?
I do that.
Dad's very selfish at all turns.
I sit big on my side of the booth. My knees my knees are apart. My elbows are like this. I will, in a threesome, I will be the guy who sprints. Baby. I will sprint to the booth to be the first one seated.
You also have these rules where you need to have your back to the, like my dad never wants to sit with his back to the door. He's got to have it. Basically, when we go to
old
dinner,
mafia thing,
when
yeah.
we go to dinner as a family, it's basically let Greg pick the seat he wants because he's going to complain.
Of course.
It's the least you can do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the patriarch yep. of the family.
I'm the man. Is that what you were about to
no,
say?
No, patriarch. He didn't say Dan. He didn't say that.
Patriarch
he said
does
the
not
patriarch.
Start with an M.
I'm the patriarch.
He got halfway through man and it's only one syllable.
No,
and he cut him.
I was beginning, I started to say matriarch.
Silent
and then I realized
yeah.
I was about to misspeak, patriarch. So I said patriarch.
But the bad spot that you get put in is when you're the third person. So two people have sat, and now you have to be the jerk yeah. of like, who am I going to screw here?
Yeah. Two is ideal, right? You want to be two or you want to be one? Because two, you could take your time. One has already gotten
right.
there, and they're in. Two, you take your time.
Take your time.
Then three goes into where one was, I
yeah.
would think.
If there's two, you saunter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chris, would you not describe your father as aggressively selfish?
I don't want to say that out loud.
Wow. Jeez.
But yes.
Selfish? Because I want to be the one who chooses where to sit?
You think in your family that you deserve all of the best things.
Right.
He's the Pingu.
I'm the patriarch.
Dad, what's your slogan in a car when we're on a family road trip? And, you know, there's maybe air conditioning dilemmas. What is your saying?
Me maximum.
Yeah.
Well, you also say driver comfort is paramount.
Well, driver comfort is paramount.
Yeah, me maximum.
Me
second.
Maximum.
Yeah, exactly
me
right.
maximum.
No, me maximum. No, me maximum was in hotel rooms when you want the TV off, but everyone else wants
it
on. You would say
too.
Me maximum TV.
Right.
Well, hold on a second. When you're on an airplane, is it selfish for you to put on the oxygen mask first before you assist others? No.
Right. They
the pilot instructs
that.
You to.
How do you save everyone else
exactly
if you're not saving
right.
yourself?
You got to
right.
take care of old number one first, right. and then you're able to take care of the others.
But what the shit does me maximum mean?
No, I get it, Greg.
Me maximum.
I get it.
Yeah.
Me maximum. I need more air. Tony,
but I'm telling you, picture a dark room with like the TV on and my dad mm-hmm. trying to sleep, wanting it off, and just out loud saying to the room, me maximum TV.
Well.
And I'm 9 years old and I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
I mean, I'm in a hotel room.
Yeah.
I can't leave. I can't go someplace. I'm
didn't you
trapped.
Sleep, didn't you sleep in the bathtub once because we wouldn't turn off the TV?
Only because you wouldn't.
No, it was the family. Me, Mom, Michael.
Now, right. if we were to take bets around here, who was it, Michael or Chris? I think we can all. It was Christopher that didn't want to turn off the television.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because he thought me maximum, right? But he's not maximum. You're maximum.
Right. Well, I'm maximum when I need
he
my
minimum.
Sleep. You know, I'm the driver of the family. I'm the one. I'm going to be balling the jack tomorrow, driving about 600
hey,
miles. I
what
need
does that
my
mean?
Sleep.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a TV blaring at 11 p.m.
Ungodly
at night.
Hours.
I mean, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know the genesis of me maximum. I would like to bring in your mother on this to explain to me the origins and
she maximum
what it means. Because I don't believe that it should be you maximum all the time.
It isn't.
But you are aggressively selfish, as I mentioned, and it's commemorated by me maximum.
Okay.
I would put it on your tombstone.
Me maximum?
To the very end.
When Christopher mentions that driver comfort is paramount, okay, when I'm driving, if I ask for the air conditioning, and more often than not, I ask for the air conditioning to be pointed away from me
mm-hmm.
because the wife loves air conditioning. She'll put it down to 40 degrees if she could.
A giving
right.
man
I don't
you
want
are.
Right in your face.
I don't want artificial cold air blowing on me when I'm driving.
But Greg, that's only once you've reached your maximum.
Right.
Right? Because if it's hot, you need
maximum.
That air going to your way.
Right.
But then when you get a little chilly, I can defer to others. But first, driver needs to be comfort.
Yes.
And then everybody else
your
is
your lives
back.
Are in Greg's hands when Greg is driving you
that's
around.
Right.
Driver's comfort is paramount.
No, but you guys like, he could just say, hey, can we turn the air down? But no, he speaks in these, like, sayings. Like, driver comfort is paramount. Like, what does that mean,
Dad? No, me maximum is something a gladiator would say. Like, what do you mean?
That's me maximum.
It is the greatest. Me maximum is his self-absorption on maximum display. I wasn't listening to the last 90 seconds, though, because I was just laughing at Kyle Lowry in the corner of my screen. Can you put this behind me, please? On the video, can you put it on the wall behind me so that I could just have me carried to break by this? Because this is a Hall of Fame career, and in the middle of that scrum yesterday, because this is where Stugatz is trying to cut the line here ahead of the process, right? And team building. New York trying to get out in front of Philadelphia on we're talking about how organizations are built. The Knicks have fixed something fundamental. The people in charge there have relationships. They brought Jalen Brunson over with one of them, and they fixed some things. And now they're at the top of the conference fighting a Philadelphia team that tanked several seasons in order to be that kind of good.
They've made a lot of great moves. The Knicks have. They've signed a lot of the right players, but Dan, they're still not close to Boston. I don't mean to bring this full circle, but they're very good. This is very exciting, and we'll take it. Like, we will take
it. Okay, but
win a round, we'll take it. Go to the Eastern Conference Final, fine. They're not beating Boston.
The part that I'm interested in, though, is the last 10 years of this story. The Sixers, what they've been doing, who they have now, and how they head into the fight. They've got their MVP organizationally. Stugatz, look, their win now. It's Batum. It's Lowry. It's a bunch of old dudes. They were trying to do it with P.J. Tucker. James Harden comes in. You get that experience for a little while. And now it gets belched out the side. Neither one of them were able to topple Miami or Boston. And it doesn't look like they're going to be able to do it again. And now New York's in the fray.
Yep.
New York wasn't in the fray before.
No.
New York had not earned the fray for 20 years. And they're in the top two. And this is the stuff that makes it cool when history gets passed down, when you're watching what happens. And, hey, is Joel Embiid, is he going to be an underachiever forever? Is he going to be someone I'm going to be able to tell my kids, oh, no, that wasn't Wilt? You wouldn't understand. But, no, he never won anything. Why didn't he win anything? Oh, that Jokic extraterrestrial that ruined everything for everybody. Doesn't even jump. Wins the championship.
I mean, that went south in Philadelphia the second they did not take Jason Tatum, when they had the chance to take Jason Tatum. Imagine Tatum and Embiid together.
It went south for 10 years. They took away the GM's job and gave it to a Colangelo because they were so aggressively losing to get into this position. It's been 10 years to get to here, and it's still Embiid grumbling into a towel saying, we're the better team, as again, you don't trust them to get to the second round. Me maximum.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln, or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you gotta listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one, trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dan Le Batard.
Surely every time you're watching this, you recognize that your wife is laughing that she married yes. Larry David.
Yeah, I do, yeah. He, one of the great characters in the history of television, in my humble opinion. And to my credit, My personality...
In my humble opinion, followed by to my credit. It's amazing.
My personality just amazing. Does predate Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Stugatz.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to say Larry David patterned himself after me.
All right, put it on the poll, please, Juju. Did Greg Cody copyright being an asshole long before Larry David?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I think if this man's comedy is sort of acerbic, dark, you know, it's got a wonderful acid tinge to it. But about his Knicks, he is sunshine. He is in love. It is strange to see what a childhood boy Sam Morrell becomes around his Knicks. And last night you were courtside, correct, with all the celebrities, because you're living your sports dream, wow. right now, sitting next to Latrell Sprewell. Well, as you're stealing a playoff game in the most magical New York you've seen in two decades.
Yeah, pretty stupid. I'm right next to Tibbs last night. I mean, best game maybe I've ever been to. That was epic, man.
That's a prisoner of the moment, and yet Dan. I don't think he's wrong. No, but I think New York has already been swept up. It's not just that they won that way last night, Stugatz. It's the guys doing it the way they do it at the end, where they'll bite your face off to get the basketball back.
It was incredible, but what Sam is doing is what Knicks fans do. It was the greatest game he's probably ever been to. There haven't been many great games there in my lifetime, in Sam's lifetime, and I guarantee you, Isaiah Hartenstein, whatever his name is.
Oh no.
Excuse me?
No.
I guarantee you Hartenstein has become a top five player in Knicks history, according to Sam. I guarantee it just after last night.
And I guarantee you knew his name and you were just trying to rile me up because you got it correct right there. Isaiah Hartenstein, the beauty of what he did last night, and to do it in front of Stephen A., the guy who trashed him. The guy who said... Some guy named Hartenstein just played his ass off. Every big floater, shot 7 of 8 from the field, got the game-saving rebound and the game-winning block last night. Stephen A., you don't really get to deserve – you don't deserve this with us. You didn't earn it. You weren't down suffering when we were suffering. That's the joy of being a fan, that it feels good because you were there when things weren't good.
I think Sam needs to be our new commissioner of fandom. Yes. That Sam gets to tell you who's allowed to be a fan or not allowed to be a fan of this team, because you've fallen on your face. You're a giddy school child. It's absurd.
Does Stephen A. not feel like the villain in every movie? He's like, I don't believe in you. And then that guy makes the game when he what? Isaiah Hartenstein. Oh, some guy named Hartenstein? Oh, now you're cheering for him? You don't get to do that. Stephen A. is like the guy in the movie who calls a girl ugly, and then she becomes hot, and he's like, I always knew you were hot. I always knew it. No, you didn't, dude. You're fair weather.
Sam, you can enjoy this without going after Stephen A. all the time.
No, but he's right.
Can I, Dan?
I don't understand it. You've got a big victory. It's 2-0. Who cares?
It was beautiful. Sorry. I got swept up in the moment. I mean, look, Isaiah is great. Dante is money. The beauty of this is Jalen has not even really found it this series yet, and we're still finding ways to eke it out, and that's really Tibbs basketball. That's the culture here. Is Josh Hart has just been brilliant, and OG Anunoby's D and Deuce and Boyan on the bench have been phenomenal. It's been a team effort. It's been awesome.
Mike Ryan, are you annoyed by this Knicksdom making its appearance here on our show for the first time in 20 years?
No, it's earned. They're up 2-0 on the Philadelphia 76ers. That building was everything that we've been told it was supposed to be. No. They get to enjoy their moment as also a commissioner of fandom.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Who's the commissioner of fandom going to be? I'm good, Sam, because you are dopey child around this team. So you're sitting next to Sprewell, and how does that go? Like, is the childhood you sort of, you know, lightheaded?
I was next to Spree last game, not this game. I was next to Tibbs last game, so it's a different vibe. Spree. That bugged me out because I was trolling Josh Giddey. We lost that game. That was against OKC. And, you know, you better believe I had some creative insults for Josh Giddey.
Really?
It's not that hard these days. But I was stomping and they missed like 3 out of 4 free throws. So Spree started high-fiving me. He's like, he's getting it done. And I was like, this is all I ever wanted, man.
I'm so jealous. Spree
is recognizing my fandom. So yeah, Spree is the man. I did Garden of Dreams, the benefit there. So I got to do my thing in front of the Knicks legends. I took a big risk. It's like 5,600 people in the crowd. And they opened Garden of Laughs by saying they raised over $2 million. And I was going on first. It was a lineup of heavy hitters. It's like Bill Burr, John Stewart, a lot of heavy hitters. And they threw me on first. And right after they said they raised $2 million, I was like, let me take a risk. Let me do a riff. And I said, and it's all going to Diddy's legal defense fund.
Oh, no.
That got a big pop. And I'm like, all right, I'm good to go here, you know. And like I got off, and I got a big hug from John Starks. It's like that, yeah. This, I'm giddy. What can I say?
Okay, but you're an actual heckler during the game. You're a heckler. You're going after Giddy.
I don't look. I mean, he went after some people too, if you think about it. But you know, look, Joel Embiid. I'm not one of those people. And look, when they blame Knicks fans for like burning the jersey, I'm sorry you found one Knicks fan who did that. That's like blaming all Muslims for 9/11. That's not how we normally are, okay? We're good, respectful fans. You found the one bad ones who did this shit, okay? Knicks fans are good fans. So, no, I'm not going to root for injury. I think that's disgusting. I have great respect for Joel Embiid. He's a hell of a player. I have great respect for Tyrese Maxey. Tobias Harris, a little overpaid, obviously, but you know.
Does that work when you do that? Does that work? Did you actually keep, what happened? Did anyone?
That always happens.
And I don't know why I did that. That was
just the third player you could name.
I
have to give Oubre credit. He's played good D on Brunson. He's very long and athletic. He's a tough defender. I still think Brunson will figure it out, but got to give credit where credit's due. They're a tough team. Kyle Lowry is so annoying. I mean, God, he's annoying. He's just a pest. He's still good. Still a good player.
I want to play for Sam here some of what happened with Aaron Boone yesterday.
He has the ability to annoy both fan bases, the team he's playing against.
Kyle Lowry is annoying everybody at this point. But let's play for – what's the backstory I need here? Because Aaron Boone got ejected yesterday during the game. I don't know if you saw this, Sam, but he got ejected for something that a fan said behind him. Aaron Boone, when he was told to shut up, actually did shut up, but got ejected anyway. Here's what that sounded like and looked like.
So the fan in the blue shirt is the one who says something to Hunter Wendelstadt. That's what he reacts to, and he kicks out Aaron Boone, who says, whoa, I didn't say anything.
We also have a 40-second clip where Aaron Boone loses his mind.
The first base umpire you saw making that call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter. Wow. We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear.
Aaron, that's it.
There you go. Aaron saying, I didn't say anything. Aaron saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
It's frustrating if you're that innocent. He was innocent.
He was looking at his nails.
He was an innocent man. He was pretending to look at his nails.
Ridiculous. It's like your girlfriend making you sleep on your couch because of something someone else tweeted at her. It doesn't even make sense. It's like, what are you talking about? What are you, my mom? You're just going to punish me with no evidence? You know, MLB umps really need to be under fire. Like, they've been letting people get away with this for way too long. Angel, how is Angel Hernandez?
It's a good question. Yeah. It's a blight on my people. It's a good question you're asking.
I don't get it. Nothing worse than when umps or refs in sports ruin the game for fans at home. Like, that shouldn't have happened, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to try to defend the ump here, because I imagine if me, Dan, Greg Cody, if we were an umpire, and you tell Aaron Boone to shut up and someone else keeps chirping, when you get to a certain age, Sam, I'm telling you, you're young, I'm old, okay? But I can absolutely see an umpire It's hot out. The sun is beaming on him. He's got all the equipment on. And he tells Aaron Boone to shut up. And then he hears someone he thinks is Aaron Boone. And he just ejects Aaron Boone.
And he becomes stubborn about it. Greg would do that. Greg Cody would absolutely do that.
You just hear voices as you get older. You have no idea where the voice is coming from, whose voice it is. You just kick someone out.
Yeah, but if you're the umpire, you can't go, oh, my bad. You're right, Aaron.
Why?
Sorry.
You can't do it.
You can't do it.
Once you punch a guy out, you punch him out.
By the way, I hear voices. You know who else says that? Mass shooters. You don't get to use that as a defense.
What do you mean?
What part of that are you not understanding?
I'm not using that as a defense. I'm using age as a defense where, you know, you just hear things and you think it might be Aaron Boone. So you kick him out.
Yeah, no, that you got to take the L on that if you're the ump. And there's got to be – I mean, look, coaches are always getting fined. Why are umps not getting suspended? Hmm. Players and coaches are always getting in trouble for chirping back at bad officiating. Why is there no punishment for – like – some of these NBA refs, too, is like, how is Scott Foster still in the NBA? Like, some of these guys are like, you're known as being corrupt.
Sam, I think we need to do this with you as like an outtake where you just come on with, you come visit the sports world and come with the hottest of sports takes like that one, where you're just, how are these games allowed to be officiated by a clearly corrupt person?
Well, I mean, look, we all know Tim Donaghy was corrupt. Were these guys, some of these guys were around. It's like, you think they were just innocent? It's literally like if, like you prosecute Henry Hill and you're like, well, this guy was a gangster too, but he can stay out. He's cool.
Where are you going these days? Where are you joining us from, Sam?
I'm in New York City right now because I just taped a special. So I'm off the road until the first week of June, but I'll see you in Miami soon. I'll be at the Improv soon. I'm working out to build up an hour again, so I'll be back.
But you're now going to ride this ride. This is going to be the sports ride of your lifetime, correct? There's nothing you care about like this, right? There's nothing that will feel like this to you.
I may or may have not have canceled a European tour to be here for the playoffs. So, yeah.
My man. Commissioner fan.
I think you've
got
to be the commissioner of fandom. I mean, Stugatz here couldn't name the starting lineup last night and then didn't. And I'm saying you got to be a better fan than that because he wants to jump on the bandwagon. But you're kicking people off now.
No. Look, we're grateful for any fans who are coming through the garden. But I just think some people who have been profiting off it and trashing us for a living and questioning every move, you get to question their motives when they come to the game. Are they there for the team? Or are they there to pat themselves on the back?
What's the accusation you're making?
You do the math, Sam.
say it out loud.
Say it,
because now you're going to have court. I want what I would like, if you can help me with this, because I think the Knicks rivalry needs something on the sideline that's a little bit more modern than Spike Lee. No offense to Spike Lee. He's the original.
We love Spike.
No, be careful, Dan. But if we can get Sam to have courtside beef with Stephen A, who's also courtside, he insists on escalating the scrum because Knicks fans are siding with Sam.
Knicks fans don't like Stephen A because they know he's not a real fan. Shout out Knicks Twitter for always keeping it real. We love the Knicks fans there. I love the Knicks energy. All the Knicks Twitter stuff is amazing. They're the best fan base, man. So there are killer celeb fans. Ben Stiller's legit. That guy's a real fan. He's awesome. Chris Rock, real fan, you know. Spike, as you know, real fan. A lot of great fans. So when, oh man, Kelly Oubre, come on. Ben Stiller.
Jason Bateman, Johnny Come Lately.
Yeah, I don't know him, so I don't know about that. But look. I'm telling you the ones I know as a hardcore fans.
Sam, good seeing you. Good catching up with you.
Good seeing you guys. Go Knicks!
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using SimpliSafe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with SimpliSafe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. SimpliSafe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system with fast protection monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.